We're going to start from the beginning, Parakeet Game Over. We're going to try and traverse that and get the Parakeets out tonight. Parakeet Game Over, Ben Shona Shol Bimalko Shol was 1 year old, allegedly, when he was king. We stay Shoni Malko Shol was king for 2 years, and we spoke last week about how this pasuk certainly cannot be taken kipshuto. I'm not going to go over that again now tonight. But the bottom line is that one should not take it literally. Vayim Cholo Shol Shloshes Arafim Yisrael. Shol chose 3,000. Vayim Shol, and they were with Shol. Apayim B'michmash 2,000 in Michmash, which was one of the towns. Uvahar Beiskel, in the Beisel, and the mountain Beisel. V'elfa Yum Yonasan, the thousand worth Yonasan. B'givas Binyamin in the hill of Binyamin. V'yesaram Shiloch Ishlolav, and everybody else he sent home. So the Malbim explains that the Shol really didn't expect to have major battles, and although there was a lot of tension between the Plishtim and the Jews, nonetheless, he didn't expect to be fighting them right now. So he only retained 3,000 people. 2,000 with himself, and 1,000 with Yonasan. Okay, that was it. And they were going to go, those are like a standing army. Okay? Vayach Yonasan, but out of the blue, Yonasan came along, and he waged a guerrilla action on a Tzid Plishtim, on the Philistine governor, Asher B'Geba, who was in Geba. Vayishmu Plishtim, and the Plishtim heard that he waged this guerrilla action, and needless to say, that caused a great uproar. The Shol Tzaka B'Shofar B'Chol Ha'aretz, and Shol blew a shofar all of Eretz Yisrael, Lamar to say, Yishmu Ha'ivrim, let the Jews hear. Now, the thing is, there's a very interesting thing here. Where are Jews called Ivrim? They haven't called Ivrim in a long, long time. Yeah, and that's just Bereishis, basically. Bereishis Shmos, they haven't called Ivrim. What? They're called Bnei Yisrael. All of a sudden, Shmoshol starts calling them Ivrim. And I don't really have a good shot in this. I didn't see any of them before she bring down this issue that he calls them Ivrim. However, I do know that there is a relationship between Yosef and Shol, and that they're both from Rochel. And Yosef always said, you know, famous statement, when Yosef is brought before Paro, he says, Ivri Anochi. When he told the Saramash, we said he's an Ivri. I think that Ivri probably has something to do with the nature of the children of Rachel. Why? Because Ivri means somebody who's set aside. Somebody who's separate. In other words, Eivir Hanor went from one side of the river to the other side of the river. And Shol's unique quality was, we're going to see later this evening, was separateness, distinction. So therefore, Shol is calling the Jews by his name, the name which the children of Rachel took upon themselves, the Ivrim. In fact, you know that Ephraim, because it wasn't a fully formed thought. But what I wanted to say is that another more pushup shot could be, is that the Shol was harking back to the days of Avraham Avinu and the original patriotism of the Jews, because he's saying, listen, now we're facing a mortal attack. And since we're facing a mortal attack, I want you all to rally around the flag. And if I call you Bnei Yisrael, that gives you kind of a loose connection, because Bnei Yisrael implies the Shvatim. And the Shvatim are, you know, kind of disparate. We saw it all over Sefer Shoftim, that as Bnei Yisrael, as individual Shvatim, the children of Yaakov, they weren't unified. So therefore, here Shol is making a plea for unity, for everybody to gather together and fight. So therefore, he calls them all Ivrim. Remember, although we have 12 separate Shvatim, we're all united by the common ancestry coming from Avraham Avinu.
There's another possibility.
Yes.
Because there's a parallel here between the Yishmu Plishtim and the Yishmu Hivri. What is the Yishmu Plishtim?
The Plishtim, yeah.
What did they hear? What did the Plishtim?
They hear about Yonasan's action, I think.
But from whom did they hear that?
It doesn't say.
Okay. Now, it's quite conceivable that this group, these Hivri, may have been a group of either Plishtim that have been some, because it seems to me that they wanted them also to know. They were not necessarily Jews. They were either Gerim or they were maybe...
So how would you read the pasuk? Read the pasuk for me.
Okay, here. Yonasan is the Plishtim. This is something...
Yeah, Yonasan did that. Okay. And the Plishtim heard. Okay, yeah.
Through their own information.
Through their own network, right? Their own intelligence.
But we also had another group here which was not aware of these happenings, and those were the Ivrim. Everybody else probably knew about it. The army, the 2,000.
The 3,000 they heard, right.
They knew about it.
Right, so who are these Ibrahim who haven't heard about it?
These Ibrahim could be a part of the Palestine from what we mentioned before, but here they were called Ibrahim because maybe they went over to the other side. Maybe they went over to the side of the...
To the Jews. Ibrahim who came over. So here Ibrahim means that the people who came over from other sides, the other side, right. That should also... And so,
I'm seeing the parallel between Vayishbu Ivrim.
It's interesting parallel in the pasuk.
Could have been part of the Philistine which went over to the other side.
That's where the
issue
could come in.
Well, I tell you what, let's put this off to Pasuk Zion, because Pasuk Zion comes up again.
You made about patriotism.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the reason we need to say that, we don't know how long ago the battle that they just won was, a few years before, whatever it happened to be. That, again, before that time, you had a problem. Binyamin was, renegade Shevet, and calls from Binyamin. And, okay, he was accepted because of the one winning the battle. Then all of a sudden, the son of this new king goes ahead and, for some unknown reason, goes and attacks some people. And we could imagine that a lot of people in Israel are like, we got a king now, we want a battle now, why is this guy going and attacking and causing more trouble for us? So he's trying to appeal to some of the patriotism within Bnei Israel to not divide again.
Oh, even though Yonasan here is causing trouble.
Yonasan causing trouble. The son of the new king is from Yonasan.
Right.
Becoming causing trouble. He's attacking all of a sudden. It doesn't seem like there was any provocation for that attack that is mentioned. They try to get, okay, well, you've got to be Ephraim again. Get together and we got to fight this. And, my son might have done something, but you got to take care of it together.
Yeah, it's correct.
Yeah, there is. Why would the Zadok have to say, Yishbu Ephraim, today she Yishbu, the Yishmeru Mipulish? She eggs on the phone. It seems to me that they have to be more aware.
The Ephraim or people have to be more aware
of the Philistines.
It could be. You're right. It could be that
they felt that these were traitors.
So the Ephraim, you're trying to make the case. I certainly can't prove you wrong. That the Ephraim here are some other group, not Stam Bnei Israel, not Jews. All right. Let's see if we can fit in the pasuk Zion. It's an interesting shot. So according to Mr. Stark, I mean, besides the Ephraim, the Israel also heard.
From what?
They heard this. No, it doesn't say. We don't know from where. Although it was Yonasan, but they obviously Shaul had to take the brunt of the blame for this. That Shaul had beaten the governor of the Plishtim. The Gamniva she saw about Plishtim, and the Jews now had become reprehensible. In other words, that by the Philistines. In other words, that the Plishtim now were going to take retribution. The nation was sound the alarm. They all came to show to the Gilgal.
If the Ephraim would have been part of Bechal Yisrael,
yeah.
Then why does he have to go in and now say Bechal Yisrael?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. No, I would not say it's right because Yishmu Ephraim was what Shaul said. We're quoting Shaul. And here the Navi is saying the Lashon which he's used to saying all over. In other words, the Navi in Pasuk Daled is talking. He's not quoting Shaul anymore. So we could say Ephraim and Yisrael are the same people.
What did they
hear?
What kind of news?
They heard that Shaul waged this war.
That
the other ones here.
About the battle in Geva. So here
he
distinguishes between the
Bnei
Yisrael and
I hear your case. I can
really
say. Right. No, I understand why one could leave the Peru and the Pasuk either way. That's right. Now, I understand now he's mobilizing the reserves. So the Plishtim gathered together to fight with the Jews. 30,000 chariots. The Sheshalof in Peroshim had 6,000 horsemen. Va'am and the rest of the army, like the sand on the seashore, Larov a lot, a lot. Vayalu, they came up, Vayachnu b'Michmash, and they camped in Michmash, which is where Shaul was, in other words, very nearby, Kidmah's base oven to the east of base oven. That was his whole strength, 2,000. He had to face... Right.
There was a one against...
It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Just wait. Wait till what happens here. The Yishisra, low, the people in the class, Jews saw Kitzar, low, that he's going to be oppressed. In other words, that it's going to be bad for the Jews. We're talking about the Jews in the singular. East Israel, even though it says the man of Israel means the men of Israel, and Shiloh means to them, right, collective, right? Kinigash Ba'am, because they were becoming, they had come, this great nation had come to oppress them. They were, Nigashir means Kinigasam, they were being oppressed. Vaischabam, so the nation hid, Bamaros in the caves, Vachavachim, dugouts, Uvasloim among the rocks, Uvatsrichim, some sort of other form of tower or some sort, Uvaboros, and in the holes in the ground. So everybody became very, very fearful. These are the Jews who were there in Michmash. Yes, or it's not clear 100% who they were, but take a look here in the Malbim. The Malbim says here, V'ish, on the bottom right, V'ish, Sipir Kisi saw Ro, the Jews saw, and they felt, and they felt their anguish. The same at Bar Tami for four reasons. Aleph, one, they already were pressed or bitten literally by the Philistines. Shechon Arem, who camped against their cities. The local told some and pressured them, being in Shekhari, some didn't be on a manner that the nation was ready in their hands. Bays, they hid, those 1,000 which were Michmash didn't fight, like you're pointing out. They hid, those 1,000 in Michmash hid by Maoros in the caves, and in the dugouts, because they were afraid. Okay? So I'm not sure, it's not clear how we only got down to 1,000. The Malbim somewhere explains, I think previously, yeah, the Malbim says previously that Shaul had 1,000 in Michmash, 1,000 in Beit El, and Yonatan had 1,000 people. So that's why we got down here to 1,000, and that's going to be the numbers are going to be a little bit confusing. So the Malbim says he didn't have 2,000 people in. He had 1,000 in Beit El, 1,000 in Michmash, and 1,000 with Yonatan. So Yonatan. So these 1,000 over here. Well, but in the meantime, the Plishtim drove a wedge in between the two armies. So, and these 1,000 in Michmash, they hid because they felt obviously overwhelmed. Now, Pasuk Zayin, the Ivrim over the Yarden. It's interesting. I don't know. There is some. I guess one could explain this Pasuk the way Mr. Stark is explaining it. The Ivrim over the Yarden. The Ivrim passed over the Jordan River. Eretz God v'Gilad, into God and Gilad. The Shaul, then about Gilgal, Shaul stayed in the Gilgal. The Chol Ha'am Charedu Achrav, and a whole bunch of people came to him. Okay, so the 1,000 in Michmash, they were there hiding. Shaul had 1,000 in Gilad who stayed with him. I said Beit El before, I'm sorry, I was wrong. He had 1,000 in Gilad who stayed with him, not in Beit El, in Gilad. And there were 1,000 with Yonasan. But Shaul in the meantime, when he was in Gilgal, when he blew the shofar, a whole bunch of people came to him. And the Ivrim, whoever the Ivrim were, they passed over to the other side of the Jordan River. So you can make a case here from this pasuk.
Obviously, that doesn't distinguish between Ivrim and
Ahav. Yes, because that's what I'm saying. It's giving credence to what you said before. Okay, so let's say look here in the Malbim, Zion. Again, Gimel the Ivrim show you the third profession manifest here. Is those Ivrim show Krovi Eliyahu, and they were closer to Jordan. Loisas who as a show, they didn't come to show. Rakov and Seyad and Ivrok, they ran away by going across the Jordan River. Dalet. Mashashol didn't be Gilgal. That would show it's still Gilgal. Shatashia Roy Lashiate Likras Oye really should have gone out towards the enemy. By any Kulukotasarab, so the enemy shouldn't overwhelm the cities. Rosa Mumay can't do anything. Rakyosh be Gilgal show just stayed in Gilgal. Vaidechin Bechola Am. And therefore, all the nations, Shayu Imo, which are with him, says the Mahavi, Chodakrav, it doesn't mean they trembled and followed him. They went quickly after him. Hainu, it means Sha'atsu Alav, the kids, because on the next page, on the flip side of the page, they pressed him, Shiyavur Cholot, that he should go and start fighting. Ve'imacharav, and they'll follow him, Allah Oyev, against the enemy, Uvayeshvigil, shouldn't spend a lot of time in Gilgal. But the problem was that Shaul was still stuck in Gilgal. Because way back in Perek Yod, Shmuel had told him, there's going to be a time, sometime in the future, And according to the Pashup Sham Sukkim, it happened shortly thereafter. According to not Pashup Sham Sukkim, it happened several years later. But Shaul had Shmuel had told him at some point, there's going to be a time in the future when I want you to wait for me 7 days. You're going to be in Gilgal. You must wait in Gilgal for 7 days before I get there. Now again, according to Pashup Shan Novi, the way Chazal learned, all this happened very quickly. Within the first few days in Gilgal, after they were Mechadish the Melucha, this whole episode with Yonason happened, and Shaul having to respond, and the shofar and the whole business happened very quickly. According to, if we don't learn, like Pashup Shan in Novi, but rather there was some time frame, so this didn't happen right away. They were Mechadish the Melucha, things were peaceful for a while. There was a time when Shaul came down to Gilgal for some reason, which had been prophesied earlier, and at that point he was supposed to wait for 7 days. And therefore, even though the nation was trying to force him to go out to fight the Plishtim, he refused to go. He said, I gotta wait. I have a nevuah, I had a command from Shmuel to wait 7 days. Needless to say, this is very nerve-wracking for the people. It's going to be very, very difficult for Shaul to resist them. So let's see Pasuk Ches. Vayochel, Shaul waited, Shivat Yomim, the 7 days, Lamoed Asher Shmuel, the day which, to the time frame which Shmuel set, for Lopar Shmuel HaGilgal. Shmuel didn't come. So people started dissipating. People started going away. Shmuel was losing his, Shaul was losing the army. So by on the seventh day, Shaul was giving up. His mom is like by the Egel Azov. He should have waited until the afternoon, but he didn't wait. In the morning he saw, Shaul saw on the seventh day, Hagishu, that Shmuel's not there. Vayomer, he said, Hagishu alai ola, give me the ola, I can't wait anymore. Vashlomim and the Shlomim, and he started being Makri Vinoila. Now, very important Malbim. Take a look here in Pasuk Ches and Tes in the Malbim. He says, Shaul had four good reasons not to wait. Ches Vayochem Mevushel Shaul Arbeis Natsuti had four reasons not to wait. Shomer Tivish Shmuel. Why didn't listen to Shmuel's words? Shomer Leshivas Yomim. Who told him 7 days? Tochel Aboy Lachet Slachli. You should wait till I come to you. Allah, first of all, Rovitz Chayes a lot of danger. She had Gishu Rov, which was passing over him. Come on, Shesiber Shnei Suvan Al Koyim. Like it's in the previous Sub Sukim. Beis Kim Tinshivas Yomim. He waited already 7 days. Ramoed Asher Yavo Shmuel. So it's time for Shmuel to come. Vlobar Shmuel. Shmuel didn't come. The Chashav, skipping the parentheses, the Chashav Shalot Tivol, Raklam Tiyan Arba, Azayin Yomim. And he thought all that was commanded to wait was 7 days, Lo Yosa, not more. Shemitzat Yom HaShikul, and they're part of 7 days like the whole day. Kimo Vayavat HaMelev, they started dispersing already. This Yomim, and he was afraid, Ki Vasovat, he's going to stay by himself. That finally, Pasuk says, Dal Vayomer Shaul, Shaul said, Ki Bechotos, nevertheless, Lo Yisrael, Lo Chama, Lo Shmuel, he didn't start the war without Shmuel, Rakel, Lo Olo, he did with sacrifice and Olo. Shul Chalos, Pnei Hashem, just to plead with Hashem, she I'll do it, and he should help him. The chashim she Shmuel will tivo. Actually, you love him. Ad yadu mi as Maya said. And you always thought that Shmuel's commandment that shouldn't fight until Shmuel tells him what to say. Why should like your carbon? Not telling him not to sacrifice the carbon. So he started doing that because sacrificing the carbon because of those four reasons. Nevertheless, in pasuk yud, vayik chalosola. She says he was finishing to bring the ola. Shmuel came. Vayetze Shaul, he crossed the vocals, so Shaul went out to see him to say Shalom Aleichem, to give him a greeting. Vayomer Shmuel said, Me'asisa, what have you done? Why did you sacrifice before I got here? Vayomer Shaul said, Kira Isi Kinofa Tzamayolai, because I saw the nation was splitting, going away from me. Vatolo Basel, Moira Yomi. And he didn't come to at the right time. Or Plishtim and Safi Michmash, or Plishtim are gathering together Michmash to destroy me. Vomarane said, I told you to a Plishtim and La Gilgal. And I said that the Plishtim are going to come towards me to the Gilgal. So he's saying, A, the people are going away. B, the people are afraid. There's tremendous armies. C, the Plishtim are about to attack me. And D, Bnei Hashem Ochilisi, at least I should be able to dive and I should be able to give the oila before you get here. That's not Pax, I didn't wage the war. But I did sacrifice an oila. Vayom HaShmuel, now Shmuel says an amazing, extraordinarily difficult thing. Says Shmuel, Vayomer Shmuel Shaul, Shmuel said to Shaul, Niskalta, you were stupid. Rashi, as the Targum says, to pesta, you're a tipesh. Lo shamartes mitzvot Hashem Elokecha. You didn't fulfill the command of God, your Lord. Asher Tzivcho commanded you. Ki atah, therefore now, But really, to listen to what he said, Ki atazen nali chin Hashem et mamachtcha, Hashem would have erected your kingship, al Yisrael, Yisrael, to the Jews, al olam forever. Vatah, but now, mamachtcha lo sakum, your kingship will not be sustained. Because Hashem lo ish kilvavo, Hashem looked for a person who's like his heart, like Hashem's heart, vaytaveh Hashem, and Hashem has commanded him, l'nogi alamo, to be the leader on his nation. Because you didn't keep that which God commanded you. It's amazing.
It's to be even the
what?
It's like the spirit of the law.
Yeah. It's Rabbi's question. There's a couple questions. First things first. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Good deal. I'll speak about that too. Why is Nugget? But the thing is like this. How does the punishment fit the crime? What did he do? He was a little bit impatient. He sacrificed an oil a little bit early.
The people back. Maybe if he was sacrificing oil, they
would
wait till...
Yeah, that was a good reason for him to do what he did.
What did the Aaron do?
Yeah, what did... Aaron and the eagle, right. But he didn't lose the Kuna Gadoila because of that Aaron. Why did Shaul lose the Kuna Gadoila? Moshe at the Rock, well, he did lose.
He lost
Yeah, he lost big time. He had a reshus halachically. But here Shmuel had told him to wait. So he transgressed the nevuah of Shmuel. That was his concern. So now the couple things. Why don't you turn to my notes, everybody, side, second to the last page. You give me a dialogue. The Radak learns that Shaul's emunah nevuah was found deficient. The avera year was Shmuel tells you nevuah. You don't follow the nevuah. That was the avera according to the Radak. The Malvim's approach is that a little bit more.
I agree.
This is not sufficient explanation. The Malvim's approach is that he lacked the perspective of lemala min hateva. It's interesting. It's ironic because Shaul turned to Hashem. He wasn't lacking in emunah. He was makriv in oila. That's all he did. That's also an act of coming close to Hashem. It wasn't a lack of emunah. It was a lack of perspective. To think that if you don't do something now to ask Hashem for help or to rally the troops, then things won't go right. Sometimes even a tefillah is a chesaron in the proper perspective. You should have the perspective. If Shmuel said it's going to be all right, Shmuel said lamala mina teva, things will go fine above and beyond nature. What davening is this? Why are you getting nervous? Why are you sacrificing karbanos? You have to have a perspective of things will go with lamala mina teva, above and beyond the natural. That's the Malvim shot. Okay, I'll come back to that in a minute. That's a tough thing to accept. I agree with you. The Rabbah is bothered by another problem, however, your problem. What does it mean that he's going to get a Leilam? What happened to Yehuda? You stay talking pasuk and braces, right? How could Shmuel say that he would have gotten a Leilam? It's not true he would never have gotten a Leilam. So what does it mean that he would have gotten it forever? Everybody knows Shaul was only a temporary king with Chachila. So the Rabbah gives an answer. The Rabbah says that it would have been that Lo'olam doesn't mean forever, but for a long time. In other words, eventually he would have gone to Yehuda. But at least Shaul would have had children, grandchildren, epis, he would have had some lineage on the king, in the monarchy. So this way he lost it right away. I would say a little bit different, I don't know better, but a little bit different, that he would have had a position of stature. Right, okay, not the king, but you know, he would have a duchy, you know, he would have his own specific royal line, secondary, subordinate to David, but he would have had something, right? Like a half a king, whatever, some kingship. Never be. Abkhati Amachus. Alright, fine, so like the Rabbah, you would have gotten a longer, certainly wouldn't have ended abruptly, you would have had a longer kingship. However, that's possible. Okay. Alright, so now I'm telling you my pshat though. No, I don't have, that's a Rabbah question. We're getting back to the sin itself. So take a look here. In sustaining the view of the Avera, in trying to sustain the Radak and Malvin, in trying to expand a little about it, let's look at the Pasuk itself. The Pasuk says, Niskalta, which we said means stupid. Right? Tipshesa. A sachel is the opposite of Pasuk Yudalad. When Shmuel says to Shalom Yiskalto, he's telling him, you don't have a lave like the lave of Hashem. Because what does that mean? The nugget, as Mr. Levy pointed out, here Shaul is called a nugget, not a melech, a nugget, because Shaul, when he was originally put to point, it was told you got to be a nugget. I would say, what does a nugget mean? We said that the word nugget is an Aramaic word, negidu, which is the translation of the Hebrew word mishchu, to pull. So the purpose of a king is to pull the nation towards God. Well, how do you pull the nation towards God if you have a lave like the lave of Hashem? If your heart is attuned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have a couple of choice quotes from Reb Tzadok about this. Reb Tzadok says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu liban shesho, God is the heart of Christ. So in other words, your heart, your emotions, your focus have to be focused on Hashem. Sheyesh or atzmi'i, there's an inherent light, b'kerav alev, in a Jewish heart, she'i efshar lichlecha sheikh, which can never be darkened, v'zeu asoga sabina shablev, and that's the intuitive nature of the heart, it's reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Reb Tzadok says, Kol avodah sheivoy aguva misses all of our avodas Hashem with our body, with our limbs of our body and the misses which we do by him. Hem rak laishir lev, only meant to straighten our hearts. Va'ikir alev, and the primary consideration of a human being is his heart. Sheshamon Hashem is brought that there should be a dwelling for Hashem. That's in this week's parsha. V'shachati b'solchem, in the hearts of Klal Yisrael. Now, let me just finish my hypothesis. Remember, Shaul, when he was made king, he was given all the signs and all the preparation, and he's even made a Navi. Hashem came to Shaul through Shmuel and said, listen, I'm giving you all of these gifts to make you a spiritual person, that you should have a heart which is connected to me, in order you should be able to pull the rest of Klal Yisrael towards me. If after all of Shaul's nevuah and preparation, he lacks that innate connection to Hashem, he can't be king forever. David, the whole concept of David was by his tehillim, by his avodah, he inspired and drew Jews to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the heart of Klal Yisrael, and his heart was directly connected to Hashem. It's interesting. And I want to draw a comparison here between Shaul and David. Shaul, Chazal tell us, his sins were not sins of taiva. David, we know, he slipped up with Bathsheba. We know he had a lot of wives. We know he was, you know, about taiva. I mean, Chaz v'shalom him to say such thing about David Amel. But Api Poshet, seems like he had certain taivas. But that's the flip side of having the heart, which is so powerfully drawn, you know, to write the Tehillim. The way David HaMelech writes, he has to be a shtickle romantic, right? Somebody who has a very powerful heart drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a flip side of that. Shaul didn't have that problem. Shaul never had any sins of any type. Chazal say, Ben Shana Shaul B'molko, he was Ben Shana below without any sins. I have a few Chazals here, which I quote here. First of all, Chazal say, B'schat Tzniyot Shoyis Abo B'Shaul, because Shaul was such a tzanua, Zachav Yatzimenu Esther. That's why Esther was a grandchild of Shaul. Malat news. Where did we see news by Esther? Lo he ego. Right? She wouldn't tell where she came from. It says by Shaul, Vayavu Shaul, Lahatzich Esragla, when Shaul went to urinate inside a cave later on, Gedol Nimigod, he went in one house, in behind one fence, in front of him, behind another fence, Umara Lifnimi Ma'ara, and he went within a cave, the Sirich Atzmo Kasuka, and he put himself, covered himself up like a sukkah in a tzach. It says that David HaMelech saw Shaul going to urinate, and the way he was still with such sneers that David said, how can I kill him? How can I kill a person with such a holy body? A person who's so into sneers. And it says, Chazal say, Amr Allah Abay Shaul, they said about the house of Shaul, Shalom Ro Osam Lo Akev Lo Godel, they never said it saw by Shaul, not the heels and not the toes. They never even went barefoot in public, which in those days was acceptable. Because he was so tzanua, he was such a great tzaddik, show. Chazal say all over, he was a tremendous, tremendous tzaddik. That means, like all children of Rachel, like Yosef, he was restrained. He was able successfully to fight off all avers of Taiva, of Arias. And that's good, the first king had to be like that. Because remember, what was their problem during the Shoftim the whole time? Intermarriage, Taiva. So the first king had to be like that. That had to be the first king. And I have a beautiful shot. I came up with this today. I'm so proud of myself for this one. You know, Mishenichnas Adam Marim Simcha gave me the greatest Simcha. The name Shol. Listen to this. I love this. This is good. A little bit of self-promotion here. The name Shol. The same letters. Spell a different word. Same letters, same order, just different Nikud. Shin Aleph Vav Lamed. Different vowels. What? No, same order. Same order. No, that could be. It's related to that. Chazal say it's called Shol. Just when you have Shol. Very good. Just a second. But Chazal do say one reason why it's called Shol is because the kingship was borrowed by him. Shaul the other. But that's how I was pointing out Shol. No, Shol. What? That's what I want to know. What does Shol mean?
Alone.
That's Shaul. The what does Sheol mean?
Sheol.
Kireo bni avel Sheol, Yaakov said. What is Sheol? To the grave. What's shot the grave? Why is Sheol considered connected to the word grave? So I'm telling you, Gemara Brachas Daf Hei says that in Paga b'chol menuvo zeh, if you meet up with the Eitz Hara, what do you do? What is the first thing? First thing is you take the base medrash. Doesn't work, you say Kriya Shema. Learn Torah. Now you could keep her Kriya Shema. Vim lav, and if that doesn't work, Yazkilo yoy mamisa. You recall the day of death. Remember, why am I going to give it to my tivus if tomorrow I'm going to be rotting in the ground? That's the pshat in Shoal. Shoal, no, was so, he constantly remembered, he always was thinking about the Shoal. He Shoal thought, he was saying, I know I'm going to end up in the grave, how can I ever sin? So he was completely separate and divorced from any taiva because he was always remembering the Shoal, eventually where men ends up, and that's what Chazal say is the ultimate way of causing a person to refrain from taiva, and that was Taka Shol. The thing is, remember we remarked on this. What's the difference between Shol and Shmuel? One letter, right? Mem, right? What did Shmuel have over Shol? The Mem. The Mem is a unique letter. Mem and Lamed are two unique letters. They're both similar. I don't know if we ever mentioned this. What's the similarity between Lamed and a Mem? This is a difficult one. What's besides the fact that they're next to each other?
They have something that goes above the line.
No, Mem doesn't. Think about shape. Shape.
Mem is like one.
I'll give you a hint. Give you two big hints. What? You want to say something? You're on the right track. What Hebrew letters, what other two Hebrew letters is a lamed made up of? The bottom is a chaf, and the top is a? Not a yud, a vav. What is a mem made of? The one side is a chaf, and the other side is a vav. They're both chaf vav. What in gematria is chaf vav? 26, which is Shema Vaya, Yudke Vavke. And that's why Mem is, you know, a mikveh is 40. So all those things are connected to 40 because 40 is Shema Vaya. And especially the Mem, you know, the closed Mem, is very, very significant because of that, because it represents, you know, enclosing oneself, encompassing oneself like the mikveh waters in the Kedusha of the Yudke Vavke. So that's one thing Shmuel had which Shol didn't have. Shmuel had the Yudke Vavke, in other words, the heart which connected him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had that lave. So Shol was a great tzaddik. Averus chas v'sholom. He is paramount. Never did any aver in his entire life. His averus which he lost the malchus were not averus of sins, of transgressions. They're averus of shortcomings in the lave. Of not having that innate intense connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the levavo, the levav Hashem, which is necessary for a king to be moishach, to be menaged Klai Yisrael to Avim Shir Shemayim. That's what Shmuel is telling him. You didn't sin here in a true sin. You showed that your heart is not the heart of the Hashem Havaya connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't be... What? But it's not an Avera. He didn't keep the mitzvah of Hashem. It's not him calling an Avera, right? He didn't keep a mitzvah. I gave you a mitzvah. I told you to wait. You didn't wait. It's not an Avera in the classic sense. It's a lack of bitachon, a lack of una, a lack of innate connection, of feeling so close to Hashem. And remember, David, it's a flip side of David. It's true, David had typhus. I mean, not typhus like we understand typhus, but he did have typhus. But he had his typhus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was flip side of it. And that's why David was the king, and the house of David is the king for all generations. Because that element which Shaul lacked, David had. And who made up for Shaul? Who? So what? Who had to come and make up for that? Many generations later, Mordechai and Esther. They taki came to a society where the Jews were eating glatt kosher, right? Achashverosh and Suda kosher. The Mahadran wasn't just OU; it was, you know, above and beyond, right? Chol Yisrael, glatt kosher, everything kadatsu kadin yashan. But they had lacked the lathe. They were high of the lacked the intense connection to Hashem. What are you doing going to the entertainment like the goyim? That's not a Yiddish zach. It's not internally Jewish. So that's what Mordechai did. Mordechai did when Mordechai was poiled. The tikkun which Mordechai and Esther made for Shaul was that Shaul lacked that capacity to drive Klal Yisrael back to Hashem. That negidu, that drawing them back to Hashem. What Mordechai and Esther did, kimu vekiblu ayehudim, right? At the time of Mordechai and Esther, they propelled and compelled Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah with a great love and being drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Purim was the takana for Shaul's shortcoming. What Shaul himself could achieve in his lifetime, many years later, Mordechai had to achieve. But that's why it says by Mordechai, even though he was from Shevet Binyamin, what does it call him? Ish Yehudi, because that's the trait of Shevet Yehuda. That trade he had to get from Yehuda. From Binyamin he got the Tznius, the Hagdara. The lack of the preach was from Avera, but the Lihudi Maisaora, the Simcha, the Sasa, Mikai, that great connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that has come from Ish Yehudi, from Shevet Yehuda, like David, yeah. He didn't wait 7 days, yeah. Achashverosh also didn't wait. That's all right. That's not bad, but it's not. The problem is Achashverosh is not descended from Shaul. So all right. That's not bad. You can work on it. God's like, what? I know Achashverosh wasn't descended from Shaul.
Nobody knows where Achashverosh.
That's true. We don't know. That's
nobody
true.
Nobody knows for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Good point.
That's a good point. I remember reading.
Yeah.
David, remember the time when they brought the
arm back?
David was dancing.
Yeah,
the father is Mecharka B'cholot. His wife was actually
his wife. His wife, right.
Was, no, was from,
that's very good.
No, yeah. The issue was, Shaul's daughter's leg, it happened, and she had the tzitzis part, which felt that it was a power display.
That's very good. That's a beautiful shot. When David HaMelech came back, with David Mephazes and Mecharka B'cholot, right in front of the arm, when they brought the shrine, so David was jumping and dancing in great simcha, right? With a tremendous joy and elation, that those powerful emotions. So his wife, Michal, Shaul's daughter, he said, that's not sneistic. You don't do this out in public. Now, you see there the conflict. Michal was a great tzaddikus too. But she didn't have that kind of concept of complete emotional giving over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which David had. She got punished for rebuking David, yes, but it's not. And well, again, you know, she wasn't.
Some of that happened one day.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I didn't want to put it that way. Yeah, for you people who have an inclination to Hasidus, then you would say that Shaul has a misnagin and David was a chassid. But that's a very big value judgment. It says by the Gra, just to give the misnagin equal time, it says that the Gra and Simchas Torah, Pana Boya Rose Kilapidi, hey, she was so aflame with the Simcha of Simchas Torah that It's like a fire. So, it's not them also, you know. I'm all Dick and Titan. They can be the... Okay. All right. Yes. The political left? Yeah. Yeah. The show is trying to organize. Yeah.
To some
extent, my mother was fighting all over the place. Yeah. Ended his life. Yeah. No, I show certainly needed
budget
before him. Yeah. Right.
No, I don't.
Well, could be. Could be show was, but they couldn't obviously be at the same time.
But it could be.
But certainly, one could say that Shol Sur Meiraz, so to speak, had to become before David's Asay Tov. And Hashem invested in Shol a certain effort to make him also like David, by giving him the power of Nevuah, by giving him Shmuel to guide him. It didn't work. Ultimately, it failed. This is the first failure. The next failure will be by Agag. We'll see that in a couple of weeks. But these ultimately, it failed. Although Hashem was tried to give him that, ultimately it failed, and that's why it went to David.
Parallels of the failure are interesting. Here it also relates to what he was concerned about with other people.
Yes, that's right. He was concerned with public pressure here, yes. In both here and by Agag, Shol succumbed to public pressure. Right? He's succumbing there. He's afraid people are leaving. And there by Agag is also, you know, I'm sad, you know, don't kill them all. Leave the zone. Leave the bakar. So, again, if Shol is completely focused on Hashem, it wouldn't matter to him what was going on around him, what the Am wanted. Hashem said, I'm focused on Hashem. That's it. I'll draw you guys up. But he was focused on what they said. No, Amalek's not supposed to be focused on them. Amalek's supposed to do what? Bring them up. Not this. This. Don't go like that. You're going pushing your hand down. Amalek's supposed to go like this. Amalek's supposed to go like that. That's a Goyish king. Yeah. What do you mean? David did it. No, granted, no. I understand that Shol was placed into a difficult situation, but Hashem expected of him, once he gave him the power of Nevuah, and he gave him that Kedusha, and he gave him Shmuel, Hashem expected of him, look, it's hard, I know, but I'll give you all sorts of aids. Let's go. Bring everybody up. Yeah. He was very big Baal Chesed, yes. Yes, right. Right, it was out of directed. Right, it was his heart towards the people. Right, there was a Rachmanis towards the people, which was not what his heart was supposed to be. It was supposed to be uplifting the people towards Hashem. Yes, Ishka Bava, like the heart of Hashem.
Just have, maybe raise his flag and say, Kovavo, and then you talk about David having Kaiva, and that somehow being closer to Kosh Baruch was later.
Look, David Amelch, he had a
tremendous. Yeah. We understand Kaiva.
Right. No.
Some imperfection.
David Amelch had. Ishka Bava doesn't mean that David Amelch, at the beginning, his heart was completely congruent with Hashem. But he was striving that direction. Ultimately, David HaMelech does say, he says, Libi Chalo Bekirbi, that he had succeeded in eradicating the Yetzer from his heart. It was a strong Avodah. It took him many years to do it. But that's precisely because he had a powerful heart and was waging a powerful war and was constantly involved in focusing more and more on Hashem and expressing the Rosh on Hashem. So it was a process. Yeah, obviously, when we say Ish Kevavo means that the heart is pointing in that direction. Not that he started out automatically with this great heart given by Hashem directly. It's an Avodah. You have to get to that. Okay, so let's go now to Pasuk Tesvav. Vayochem Shmuel. So Shmuel got up, Vayal mina Gilgal, and he got, went up from Gilgal to Givas Binyamin. To Givas Binyamin, and this is together with Shaul. Vayifko Shaul Asam, and Shmuel counted the nation in Tzoyimimo. Everybody left. For who was left with him? Kishesh Melzish. 600 people, that's all he had left. Remember, there are Philistines like the sand of the seas facing him in Michmash. 600 people Shaul had left here. Vayishol Yonasan Bino. Also Yonatan's people went away. All together they had 600 people. Forget about the 3,000, they're gone. According to Radak, Yonatan said there were still 1,000 more. So it was 1,600. But the Malbim and the Rabag, they were only 600 left from the whole 3,000. Yosha Geva and Minyamin, and Pishtim Chonav and Michmash, they're opposite each other, Geva Minyamin versus Michmash.
This was the first time he refers to
Yonatan as a son. He wasn't mentioned before.
This
first pair. Yes.
But no, I just found it interesting. The prayer. I wasn't sure that it started in the game. Well, that when it first mentioned Yonatan, it just said that he gave Yonatan a man, not mentioned the relationship
I don't know. Do you think it's significant?
I'd have to think about it.
I don't know. Maybe it is. I didn't notice that. Okay. Vayetzia Mashkins Mimachna Pishtim. So the Pishtim started sending out already. Patrols. Right. Shlosha Rashim, three heads. Harosha Chariv Nodech Afra. One of them went towards Afra, which is a city in Shomron. The land of foxes. Barosha Chariv Nodech Bezcharon, which is slightly to the south. Barosha Chariv Nodech Agvul Anishkaf. And another one went towards the border, which looks down on Gad's volume on the valley of Ainos. I don't think they think they're extinct now in Israel, but then I guess they had them. Hamid Barah towards the desert. What? Okay. So you want to make a political plug now for the election? So obviously they were very, very dire straits. Not only that, though, it was amazing blessing now, which you're going to see. There were no smiths in all the land of Israel. Smiths, blacksmiths.
In America, that'd be
something. Kiyomu Plishtim. So there's amazing things about that. Goes crazy on this person. Kiyomu Plishtim, because the Plishtim said, no, we're not going to allow any blacksmiths among the Jews. Penyasu Ibrim Cherevokhanis, because otherwise the Jews might make themselves swords or spears. Goes on to come more psukim. So how do they used to get metal implements? Vayeldu Koisola Plishtim, in order to get metal implements, all the Jews went down to the Philistines, Lil Tov, to forge for them. Each people as Machrashto to turn to the next page. To forge for them their plows, that's Aso, their other farming implements, their ace, that's Kardumo, that's Machresho, so all these different implements that has a Plishtim make for them. Vahisa, when they couldn't go down to Plishtim, they had a Psilopim. I don't know exactly what Psilopim is. It's some sort of very, very elementary, rudimentary blacksmith tool, which they could make machreshos, etzim, the slish kilshon, other farm implements, like tzukadumim, the ativ dorbon, and for spurs for animals. So they could make rudimentary farm implements, but they didn't have the advanced smith's tools to make weapons. And therefore, look at this. Vayol b'yol milchem, as it came to pass in this day of war, v'lo nimtza cherev v'charis, there wasn't a single sword or spear, p'yat kolom, for anybody. Asher Shol, as Yonatan, who is Shol Yonatan. Only Batimati Shol Ulu Yonatan. Only Shol and Yonatan Beno had, and the Mefarshim Chazal say that they only got their swords b'derech neis. Vayetzi Matzah Plishtim El Mavar Michmash. They have 600 people unarmed.
What about the previous battle?
In Mavar Michmash. Is that amazing? What's going on here, right? And besides, what about the whole war they waged on Nachash Amoni? Right?
And by the way, another point, by the way.
Yeah.
The Plishtim refers to whoever is Ibrahim. This is the Plishtim saying that the Ibrahim can't have.
Plishtim saying the Ibrahim can't have. Interesting. Okay, so maybe the Plishtim called Bnei Yisrael Ivrim. That's an interesting thing. Really, we could maybe develop that backwards. But I mean, they want to talk about this. So the Radak goes crazy. He says, I don't understand what's going on here. He says basically that they had stones, they had ballistic stones, You know, that's why David waged war with the slingshot. That stones and all those kinds of other weaponry, I guess, flaming oil, you know, the good stuff. They had a lot of other kinds of weaponry, but no metal weapons. Now, I'm sure they had bow and arrow, but they didn't have. Now, you have to go back and figure out what's...
They didn't have anything at the
beginning of the paragraph? They didn't, right. Yeah, nothing. Now, the problem is the previous paragraph, Nachash Amoni. Yeah. In Nachash Amoni, it must be that there, that they fought the war with stones. With stones and slingshots. And now it makes sense to me, all of a sudden, when I understood it, said, another way it says, back in Paragraph Pasachet, that when Shaul waged war, Vayiv Kedem Bebezek. He counted them in Bezek. And Chazal say in one place, well, Chazal have different interpretation of what Bezek means. One interpretation is that Bezek means pebbles or stones. Now I understand why was he giving them. He wasn't just counting them with the stones. That was the ammunition. He was giving them the stones in order to wage the war because they didn't have any metal weaponry. They didn't have anything. Now, I guess they lost their metal weaponry in the first fight in Sefer Shmuel when Eli was killed. In other words, not Eli, when he died, when the Chofni and Pinchas were killed. Because then the Plishtim completely took over, and then they actually, you know, obviously took over all the weaponry which the Jews had, and they banned smiths. They banned blacksmiths.
That's so weird. If you fought a battle against Nachash Amoni, you didn't take any air weapons after you won.
Maybe they, I don't know, maybe Nachash Amoni, they didn't completely win. Maybe they just killed Nachash Amoni himself. Who knows? But in any event, if, however, addressing that point, if the war with Nachash Amoni had occurred many years earlier, not like Pashup Shad and Navi, makes sense. Because in the meantime, the Plishtim infiltrated. But I want to point out something very, very important here. You see, Shmuel was certainly shofet for some period of time. And at the time of Shmuel, clearly, they didn't have the weapons. Yet nonetheless, Shmuel obviously protected Klai Yisrael from Philistine incursions, B'derech Nes. And clearly, the Bnei Yisrael must have seen, here we have no weapons, we can only have these basic blacksmith tools at our disposal. They must have seen that there was a Yad Hashem protecting them from the Plishtim. And in that light, you can understand to a much greater extent why Shmuel was so upset with them and so angry when they asked for a king. He's saying, here you've seen all these years, I protected you, even though none of you had swords or spears. Yet nonetheless, all these years the Plishtim couldn't attack you. Don't you realize how Hashem is protecting you? How you don't need a king, you don't need Derech HaTeva, you need just me, and you need David and Tefillah, and that's it. It makes a lot of sense this way now. There was no Derech HaTeva during Shmuel's time. But Derech HaTeva, the Plishtim should have just come and completely harassed them all the time. It was mamish a force field of Shmuel's Nevuah and Shmuel's Tefillah. So that's why Shmuel was very upset with them. And now, when they resorted to Derech HaTeva, now they're up the creek. Because now they didn't have weaponry, they had nothing. They were mamish up the creek without a paddle, without a spear. Yeah.
Shmuel did say he guarded as long as he was alive.
What?
Even though later, was the last paragraph where Shmuel actually said, even though you asked for a king and you want Derech HaTeva, I'll still guard you during my life. And he made the point that if you can do something for somebody, you should do it.
He didn't. There was no sour grapes.
Not complete Derech HaTeva.
Right.
Obviously. Otherwise, there's nothing that you should do now.
Right. No, there's going to be Nisim here too. We'll see in the next paragraph. There'll be Nisim. Yeah. Right. Well, here we'll see. The Shaul didn't have that attitude, though. Although before the Malbim accused him of being too totally in Derech HaTeva, but we'll see that there'll be the Shaul himself realizes. I mean, obviously, if you take Chazal Kipshutam, so how did they get the swords? The swords materialized in their hands with Derech Nes. So obviously, there was some. They realized there's Yad Hashem here, and that's critical in understanding the next parak where we're going to see Yonasan do a tremendous act of bravery in order to save Klai Yisrael. So let's start parak. It was on that day. Obviously, the situation was very, very grim, right? Two swords, 600 people, everybody else got slingshots, and thousands and thousands of plishtim with their war chariots and their horses and everything. Terrible situation.
Did you, I think I missed a passage.
Which one?
You did Chav Gimel?
Yeah, I did Chav Gimel. But it's a matter of plishtim and Mavar Michmash. Means that their ambush was going out towards Michmash. Dayo wasn't Deva. Yomi Yonason Ben Shol. Yonason Ben Shol said, "El Anar Nosa Caleb," to his arms bearer, whoever that was, a lad, his page. Let's go. The Nabra Amatva Plishtim Asher Me'ever La'Loz. Let's go to that encampment of the Plishtim over there, the ones who are coming, I guess. Ulavi Lo'igid. He didn't tell his father he was going, which is critical to the storyline later on. Rishol Yoshev Iktzei Giva. Shol was sitting at the end of at the edge of Giva. Tachas HaRimon, underneath the pomegranate tree. Asher Ben Migron. Va'am Asherim Okshesh Melzish. And again, he had these 600 people with him. Va'achia Ben Achituv. Is all setting the stage. Achi Ikavod, who is the brother of Ikavod, Ben Pinchas, Ben Elia, Kohen Hashem Shiloh, the son of Pinchas, son of Elia, was the Kohen Hashem, the last Kohen Hashem and Shiloh. Shiloh is, of course, destroyed by now. Notice Eifod, he was carrying the Eifod, that means the garments Kohen Gadol with the Urim V'tumim. Va'am lo yada kielach Yonason. And the nation didn't know that Yonason went. Okay, so nobody knew. Yonason and his lad, they went. There are 598 people left, I guess. Therefore, they just went out on their own. Ubeinu ma'bros asher bikesh Yonason lavor amatza plishim. And between, in the paths, by the beach, where Yonason was trying to go to the plishim encampment, Shena Sela, there was there two major outcroppings of stone. Maver Mizeh, one major outcropping of stone on one side, really a stone tooth. Veshema Sela Maver Mizeh, another one on the other side. Veshema Echad, both sides, they actually had names. They were such tremendous natural features. One of them was called both sides. Veshema Echad Sneh, and Sneh, and the other one was called Sneh. Hashem Echad Motsuk Mitzafon, one of these cliffs, let's call them, was a strong stone on the north, Mu Mikmash, opposite Mikmash, Vechami Negev Mu Geva, one that was south towards Geva. So if you look at it, if we go from south to north, further south was Geva where Shol was. Then there was the one stone cliff. Then in the middle, in the valley between Yonason and his lad, and the north side was another sharp cliff, and beyond that cliff was the main Plishtim Philistine camp in Michmash, where, and more closer in towards the cliff, right on top of the cliff was a small encampment, really small encampment, and beyond it was the main Plishtim camp further north. Okay, that was the way it looked. So, Pasuk Vav is where the story really starts to get interesting. We have to leave it till next week, because it's already 10:05. But I want to point out one thing, which is the key to the story, in my opinion. So I didn't see anybody should point to say it explicitly. In Pasuk Vav, for the first time, Yonason is called Yehonason. An extra hay in the name. And something which I've thought of, at first I didn't see anybody speak about, but then I saw Reb Tzadok does speak about it. So that he speaks about Arelim. He's the first one to start calling Plishtim Arelim. And these are significant things, and they're going to have to do with ultimately how this war was won.